light into our darkness. You pierce the darkness of our lives to introduce that wonderful light that set us free. Father, we thank you. Now take this word this morning from your written scriptures and encourage those, Father, who falter, who fail, who feel as though the life is overwhelming and burdened. Father, we just ask that you'd help us to search your scriptures out, to know the truth as it is the light of the world. Thank you, dear Lord. Amen. Oh, amen. If you'll have a seat this morning, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of John. We're going to be in John chapter number 8. And if you look at the Gospels, you know, as we've already discussed just a little bit, that the Gospels were written to four different audiences. The book of Matthew was written to the Jewish audience, and that's why there's over 40 Old Testament verses used in the book of Matthew to kind of catch their attention that Jesus was the prophesied one through the Old Testament. And then Matthew, then the book of Mark was actually written to an audience of Romans. So they tried to explain to pagans, basically, who Jesus Christ was and in the story of Christ. In the book of Luke, it's told from the perspective of a doctor who trying to use just the facts as he recorded them. And as you already know, Luke was not an apostle, but a bystander who watched Christianity blossom. And he wrote the book of Luke as an eyewitness account, and he also wrote the book of Acts, which was like the sequel to the book of Luke. And then the apostle John wrote John. And he wrote also 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, and the book of Revelation. He was the beloved apostle, and his book primarily wants to stress the point to all the readers, whether Jewish or Gentile or Roman, whoever they may be. He was trying to stress to all the readers that Jesus Christ is divine. That is, Jesus Christ is God wrapped in human flesh. He is the God-man, that he came and humbled himself as a man to the cross. So, and we've been looking at the I am's of the book of John, and you know, we've took a look at I am the vine, I am the shepherd, I am the door. And this morning we're going to take a look at the one that is I am the light, which is found in John chapter number 8, verse number 12. Now, I just want to look at that verse first because it's kind of shocking where he says or where he makes this statement. And before I read it out of the context or out of text, listen just for a moment that Jesus said, I am the light, right? And I just want to tell you that Jesus' declaration that he is the light goes back to predates, actually, Christ's own statement. The battle of darkness and light had been going on for ages and ages. Many of you have heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were found about 70 years ago by a little shepherd boy in Qumran. And he just stumbled across these jars, and they had some writings inside the jars that were about 250 years before Christ was ever born. And many of those scriptures were scriptures inside of those containers, those jars that they found. But there was also some writings that talked about the battle between the light and the darkness at the end of times. It was amazing that it talked about the battle between the light and the darkness at the end of times. You know, and it's made a lot of people interested in this battle of darkness and light. You remember Frank Peretti several years ago wrote several books. One was Piercing the Darkness and the Coming Darkness and several others that became very popular. It all talked about this dark world we live in and how God is the light and how this present darkness that we live in is overshadowing all of our lives. And it seems, though, Frank Peretti and also the Dead Sea Scrolls were in line or in tune with some of the scriptures that we have before us today. You know, even in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12, listen to this as it talks about the battle between light and darkness. Ephesians 6, 12, just listen to this. It says this, "For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavens." And then Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 12, and I'm reading out of the New King James, and I just want to look at that one verse for just a moment, and then I'll put it in context for us this morning. It says in John 8, 12, it says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Now, it's interesting that Jesus stated that particular thing at that moment in the scriptures. And as I look at that statement, I really have found 2 points. So this isn't a 3-point sermon, which means you'll get out early. The first point is this, is where there is no light, there is darkness. That seems pretty simple, right? Where there is no light, there is darkness. The second point is where there is light, there is life. Where there is light, there is life. And as we see Jesus said that there would be those who would follow after him and they would be light. And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus said, "I am the light." And he said that in the middle of something happening, of a story in this chapter. And so and it's not like he just stood up in the middle of nowhere and just said, "I am the light," just out of nowhere. So let's take a look at why he said he was the light. And in John chapter 1, verse number 8, listen to what is in the middle of all this about Jesus saying he is the light. "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman." And listen, when the scribes and the Pharisees show up, there's trouble. And you know, the scribes are attorneys, amen? So you know there is trouble. "And it says they said to him," they caught a woman in adultery, and they had her set her in the midst. "And they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman is caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?' This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground on his finger as though he had, and he did not hear. Verse 7, "So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Then Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman. And he said to her, 'Woman, why are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' And she said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.'" And then all of a sudden, Jesus in the middle, right at the end of this thing, he said, "I am the light of the world." Now, if you took it out of context, it wouldn't make much sense. But see, where there is light, where there is no light, there is darkness. See, Jesus used this statement, or this background, to make the statement that he is the light. Because see, what had happened is this woman had sinned and the people wanted to condemn her to death, but they were going at it in the wrong way. They were taking the scriptures and they were using them in the wrong way. Because see, before they could judge her, they themselves could not be hypocrites to the law. The Pharisees and the scribes could not be also be involved in adultery or sin itself to be able to cast the first stone. And Jesus said, I am the light, as in though he was saying to them that the light is going to come and it's going to set this thing straight about our motives. Does that make sense? That God is saying that when light shows up, darkness cannot be present. And those scribes and Pharisees had a very dark heart. And you said, Pastor, how do you know that? Wasn't this the same people who condemned Jesus to the cross? These are the people who were caught up in all the money in the temple and all the problems in the temple. And those were the people that got all upset about one little breaking of the law when they themselves broke many of the laws. See, Jesus came in to say, where there is no light, there is darkness. And inside the hearts of the scribes and the Pharisees was darkness. But Jesus said, I am the light. He said this in front of them and also in front of the woman. And he said this to let them know that light chases off the darkness. See, and that's a true statement. They judged her, but Jesus forgave her. So darkness judges, am I right? Condemns, belittles, destroys. And there's no room for repentance, but Jesus says, I came to forgive. How many of you are thankful that Jesus is the light and that he came to, listen, as he came to forgive and not to condemn? There will come a time of condemnation, amen? The world will condemn you, your friends will condemn you, and sometimes even the church will condemn you. Now hold off on that just for a moment because I want to chase this rabbit. 1st and 2nd Corinthians is not written because that church was doing a lot of great things. That church was caught up in sin. The church of Corinth was caught up in horrible sin, incest. They were caught up in taking one another to court. They were caught up with inner bickering and fighting, but they could never resolve the issues between themselves. So they had to be Paul had to come and write this letter to say, you better set this thing straight. Put yourself on examination and get this thing straight before I show up. See, there was a judgment after correction, constant correction. Jesus keeps on correcting because he is the light. But at the end of this world, there will be a judgment because people will be disobedient to the correction or to accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. See, Jesus is full of grace and mercy, and he calls his people. Now, someone once said, well, did Jesus, I read an article that said that Jesus was condoning adultery by not doing anything about it. No, Jesus was condoning turning a mistake into showing God's grace and mercy, which the people should have showed to them. Does that mean that if she continued to sin? No. What did Jesus say? Don't do this anymore. He was setting it straight. Here comes the light. I'm going to tell the scribes and the Pharisees, because I am the light, they're operating out of darkness. But the light says, I offer forgiveness. I will expose. Yes, the sin is exposed, but I offer forgiveness as it is exposed. But it also exposed the heart of the Pharisees and the scribes, did it not? Because none of them, after the light showed up and exposed their own self-interests and motives and the darkness of their hearts, none of them could pick up a stone. Do you know, and it says, and it tells us in the Bible, from the oldest first that walked away to the youngest. That's interesting, isn't it? You wonder why the oldest walked away first. Well, it's because they knew better. Have you ever heard that phrase before? You should know better. See, the elders knew what the Bible said about grace and mercy, and they had gotten caught up into a dark system, but yet the light showed up, and as soon as it revealed itself, conviction fell upon the oldest, the wisest, and they said, oh, good grief, I can't pick up a stone, I'm out of here. The other ones that weren't so enlightened and involved in the scriptures, the younger ones, they kind of stood around a little bit and said, wait a minute, who is this guy? But yet they knew, they themselves were not without sin. See, when the light shows up, things are exposed. Listen to this verse of scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Everything exposed by the light is made clear. See, you can't help but then when you get in the light of Jesus Christ, when you have that fellowship, relationship with Him, listen, you can't help but your sin be exposed as to what is right and what is wrong. You can't go by what the world says. The truth of the matter is that many Christians, we skirt along the line of darkness and light. We like the light when it's in our favor, and we kind of edge towards the darkness sometimes when it is not. The Bible says we cannot walk in darkness and be a part of the Father, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. That we are the children of light if we're Christians, not children of darkness. We're also called to be the light of the world. And the question is, can people tell that we've been called out of darkness? Can anyone tell that you are called out of darkness? Listen to these scriptures. 1 Peter 2:9. Just listen just for a moment. Put your thinking caps on, as my librarian used to tell me in the third grade. Listen to this. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one, listen to this, who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:5. You are the sons of light and the sons of day. We do not belong to the night of darkness anymore. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 and 8. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments of God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners. For you were once darkness, but now you are the what? Light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light results in goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. Listen to verse 11. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness. Instead, expose them. Colossians 1:13 says this, He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. Listen to this. Listen, church. We are complaining and get all bent out of shape and twisted and anxious about the darkness. Am I right? Why them Republicans, those Democrats, why the economy, why the world's going to end, why the LGBT and all the rest of the transgender and all the rest of those crazy things that are going on? We waste so much energy, but what we have to realize, they do what darkness does well. They're in the darkness. They cannot come to the light because we complain about it. Now, we can't give in to it. We need to let them know that we take a stance on certain topics and subjects and immorality and the right and the wrong in our world and the way things are laid out. But my dear friend, listen, it will not change them from darkness. Dark is dark. You do not run in a dark room and complain. You can't get in there and go, it's dark in here. I hate it. It's dark in here. It's terribly dark in here. Oh, my goodness. I hate the darkness. And at one time, you were a part of the darkness, but Jesus brought you out of the darkness into the light. See, complaining about it is, you know, take your candle into a room. You've heard that before, right? Instead of complaining, light your candle. Because when you light your candle, you expose those things that have been in secret in darkness. But like we said last week, we've already silenced the lambs and we're silencing the shepherds. And nobody says, this is thus saith the word of the Lord when it comes to exposing darkness. You don't have to apologize for what the Bible says. Listen to this. If something is wrong, And think about it. And I try to do this in, with myself. And I know it's difficult even for me at times, as it is for most people. But when I confront challenges and problems of darkness, I know how I want to react. How do you react? I know how my flesh reacts. Stupid. Numbskulls. Idiots. What are they thinking? Crazy. Loony birds. But instead, I need to draw back and I need to get in the scriptures and say, what does God say about this? What does God say about this? What does it say about, instead of calling our children all those crazy names, or our grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, what does it say? What does it talk about? It talks about, well, what does the Bible say about it being light instead of dark? That I should teach them in the way they should go. Didn't it say that? Doesn't it talk about that we should recite to them as much as possible and to pray with them when they get up and when they go to bed? Are we doing that part of being the light? Are we sharing the scriptures? Are we showing them the difference, not by our opinion, but why the word of what the word of God says? Because see, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? Light unto my path. Oh my goodness, we've got some light right here. All we've got to do is say it. Why do you think they're trying to get rid of the scriptures everywhere you go? Because the darkness hates the light. Because it conflicts with their lifestyle. It conflicts with the things that they want to do. And you don't have to ever apologize to it. You don't ever have to apologize for God's word. So if you get to know God's word, when these problems in life show up, you just pull out a scripture and say, someone comes to me and says, Pastor, I'm thinking about getting married. Oh, good, okay. And then he comes to me and they say, but by the way, she's still married to somebody else and we've been dating for a year, but she just hasn't got a divorce yet. And I go, well, okay, I know what I'm thinking up here, numbskull. But I pull out the word of God and I say, you're doing what darkness does well. But this is what the word of God says. And then I don't beat them over the head with a 20-pound King James Bible. Because if they're Christians and they truly know the Lord Jesus Christ, the ones that are older will put down their stones. They'll walk away because they've heard the word. The ones that are younger will scratch their heads a little bit. But if they know the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, they'll realize. They'll remember scriptures like, you shouldn't be unequally yoked, believer and a non-believer. Am I right? And they'll scratch their head and they'll have a fit. I don't like that. Well, you don't have to like it. You may not like the light when it exposes what's wrong. You don't have to like it. God didn't ask me or you when he wrote the scriptures what we should or should not like. And if your toes get stepped on, maybe you need to talk to the one you're dancing with. And that should be the Holy Spirit. See, the light exposes darkness. And my friends, as believers, we're called out of the darkness into the light. It's true. And the world is dark. And how dark is dark? Have you ever seen dark? I've been in dark where you can't even see your hands in the front of your face. That's dark. And my dear friends, it is dark. Amen? It is dark. And even a little light can be seen from hundreds of miles away. When I was in the 224th Aviation Battalion, they gave me this little light that flashed. And this is just in case you're on a helicopter. And in the middle of the night, it crashes. And you're a survivor, if you're a survivor. With your one finger, that's the only part that would probably move after the helicopter went down, you're to push the little bottom of that light and it begins to flicker. And I was told by the aviators that that flickering, flashing light could be seen for miles on a clear night. That could illuminate. See, it doesn't take a whole lot of light and darkness to be seen. How much light are we being? We got to get away from the darkness. And I'm not going to go far with this, but I'm just saying we participate in things that skirt darkness and light. Things we say, movies we watch, things we do, conversations we get involved with. And my dear friend, we need to move out of the darkness and gravitate toward the light. Am I right? Because it shows us what is right. Just like Jesus did with the Pharisees and the scribes. Second point. Where there is light, there is life. Notice the second part of that verse of Scripture in verse 12. It said, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Remember, we're not supposed to walk in darkness. But what? They have the light of life. Well, I was curious as to what the heck that meant. What is the light of life? Is this something that just pops up over my head like a little light bulb and just people see it? No, I don't think so. What is the light of life? Well, the hints come from the book of Revelation as to what he's talking about. And there's two verses. The first one is found in Revelation 21:24, and it says this, the nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring glory into it. Revelation 22:5 says this, night will no longer exist, and the people will not need lamp lit or sunlight, because the Lord God will be with them and give them light, and they will reign with him forever. See, the light is God. So if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we get to be a part of the light, which means we get to go to the light. Now you go, what the heck is that about? Come on, just be hanging in there just for a minute. How many of you have heard that thing? I see the light. I see the light. He was dying and he saw the light. I don't see too many people that see the darkness, because you can't see darkness if you're dying. It's just dark, right? But you see the light. I see the light. Here it comes. I see the light. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have to take a little finger full of light if it tried to throw me back here. Amen? I mean, if it said you got to go back, no, please don't send me back. I mean, you know, but you see the light. See, the light is this reflection of the Shekinah glory of God himself. Because there is no darkness in him. The Bible says that. There is no darkness in him. And he is this brilliant light. When people saw the reflection of God alone, like Moses, their face glowed and they had to cover it with a veil because of the perfect light. He is the light of the world. And that's why Jesus said that. He is God. Remember why John wrote? Because he wrote to prove Jesus is what? Divine. He is the light, just as God is the light. But the contrast of being in the light is this. Darkness. Now see, when I die, I'm going to the light. I'm going to the light. Not because of my goodness, but I'm going to the light because I believe in the light, Jesus Christ. And I mean, I'm headed to the light. Amen? But the contrast is that there are people who are going to darkness. The Bible says in several places, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in the book of Revelation, that there will be those who will not believe that will be cast into what? Outer darkness. Where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So the choice is, and there's no medium, if you're Catholic, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that they would have taught something like purgatory where everything is just gray between heaven and hell. There is light, according to the Bible, or there's darkness. Outer darkness, wailing, gnashing of teeth. I don't know about you, but one of the worst things I can find myself in, for me personally, is darkness. Do you ever have to get up in the middle of the night? Do you know why God created a little toe? So that you could find furniture in the dark. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Well, I'll tell you what's worse than finding furniture with your little toe in the darkness is finding the edge of a door with your face. I tell my wife, I said, please leave the bathroom door all the way open when we go to sleep. Because when I get up, I don't want to open my eyes because it makes me more awake. So I just get up out of the bed. First of all, you know what I'm talking about, those of any age on you. You said I'm not going three times already. Now you've got to get there. Slide your foot off the side of the bed and move your way in that direction. And you're just kind of groping through the darkness. Well, I did that thinking that the bathroom doors, I'd ask my wife to always open it wide. And my face right in the center hit right in the center of that door. Let me just say this. I was now wide awake. I told a friend, my friend wanted to know why I had the big bruise in the center of my forehead. I mean, I hit it hard. Because see, I put it off like six times. You know what I'm talking about? It was time to go. And they want to know about the bruise. And I told them what I had done. And they said, well, I always walk through the house at night with my hands like this. I told him he was really weird. But anyway, the darkness has no place for people of the light. And there is coming a battle. It's on its way. And it's global. It's worldwide. And it's happening. Just to go back just for a second to the Dead Sea Scrolls. It wrote about, not that the Dead Sea Scrolls are scripture, but it sure is interesting, that how it talks about in the last days, at the end of times, there would be soldiers of the light and soldiers of the dark. I see it happening globally. Where do you stand today? Do you know him as your personal savior? Because see, either he is or he isn't. You've either followed the Lord Jesus Christ and believed by faith that he is the Son of God and that he died for your sins and that he went to the grave and that he resurrected from the grave. Either you believe by faith in that or you're still in darkness. If you don't know where you are, then I would say you're not in the light. Because if you're in the light, you what? Know where you are. That is why people tell me, they say, I'm a Christian, but I do this and this and this, and I mean crazy things. And I go, seriously? You're in the light and you do those things? Oh, yeah. And I don't think those are the things of the light. I think those are the things of darkness. Where are you today? Let's bow our heads. In just a moment, we're going to take of the Lord's Supper. And there's no better time than right now to ask God through the Holy Spirit to search your heart out, to see where you really are, and to see where I am. I practice this. I want this in my life. So that we can go to the Father and say, Lord, search us out. And if there's any darkness in me, right at this very moment, before I take of the Lord's Supper, help me to confess it as sin. Help me to remove this dark blot from my heart. If you'll just take a moment and think about it, invite the Holy Spirit. Take a moment. Do you see it? Do you see a sin to confess? Do you sense it? Something that needs to be made right. Then at this very moment, confess that sin. For he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we take of the Lord's Supper, we know this is a time in which we gather together around the table. It's what's going to take place in the future when we come together with him as God's bride. So we'll sit around a table. And here we're seeing the bread represents the flesh, the juice, the blood of God's sacrifice for us on the cross. Fathers, we come to you right now. Search us out and know us. See if there's anything in us, anything of compromise. We ask you to search us out like David asked, that we would be whiter than snow. Even though it looked good on the outside, there's still that little bitty piece of dirt on the inside that's that's visible to you. We ask you to help us, to convict us. And we got our own self-will to confess it to you, so we confess those things, Lord. Father, we pray that you not find us ashamed at your appearance. That we would be the soldiers of the light that you've called us to be. And Lord, we ask it in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.